thinking about her talking about doubting your salvation. You know, a lot of people are into that today, and it happened to you at any time. You say, well, I never doubted. Well, just wait around. It might come. And my middle son, numbers of years ago, he called me on the phone one day, very high up position in his life, and one of his friends, as a preacher's kid, had gotten saved, said he had been lost for years. And he called me, he said, Daddy, he said, I want you to tell me about my salvation. He made a profession when he was 5 years old, and he said, I'll be honest with you, Daddy, he said, I don't remember a thing about it. Of course, I don't remember anything of what I did when I was 5 years old. I told him, I said, let's forget about when you was 5 years old. I said, you know any difference between somebody's dead and somebody's alive? He said, yeah, he says, pretty clear. And I asked him, I said, you got any hunger for God? He said, Daddy, he said, I got up this morning looking for my Bible. He said, I want to read it. I said, dead people don't do that. He said, Daddy, he said, I want to serve the Lord. He said, I want to lead my children and family altar. I said, dead people don't do that. I tell you, you worried about what you did back then? Don't you forget about that. See if there's anything going on this morning. I tell you, it's a good chance if you dead right now, you dead.
Amen.
You ain't got no hunger for God, ain't getting in no Bible. Don't worry about what you prayed or what you didn't pray back then. You just lost.
Amen.
Need to get saved. Doubts can clear up pretty quickly. We've been looking at the subject in these days of will heaven be worth it all? Will heaven be worth it all? We've been drawn to five words that have helped us in these days. And one of those was anticipation, preparation. A couple of more, celebration and coronation. But today I want to look at the word destination. Heaven is a destination. It is a place where people are going to or not going to. C.S. Lewis said that history will bear it out that those who had the greatest effect upon the world in which they were living in were those who thought much and most about the world to come. I want to have heaven on my mind.
Amen.
That I might have an effect. Because you know, if you got heaven on your mind, it's awful deep. I don't know if you can get this or not. If you got heaven on your mind and you're going through the Walmart line, you'll get to thinking crazy thoughts like, I wonder if the cashier there is going. I wonder if while we're standing here talking, she's, checking out my stuff, that maybe I'd asked her if she was going. You know, something crazy like that. If the destination was on your mind. Are you listening to me? Great effect upon the world in which you're living in. As we begin this morning to look at this destination, I'd like to draw our attention, first of all, this morning to the trail to this destination. If you're going anywhere, somebody would quickly ask, well, how do you get there? What's the vehicle? Well, I don't know of but three Bible characters who made the trip and come back. And so I would be interested in how they make the trip. If you've got the Bible there in Revelations 21 and verse number 10, John was one who made the trip. He went to that city and he did return. The Bible says in verse number 10, and he carried me away in the spirit. I was interested in that little phrase, carried me away. It means up and away. Up and away. Preacher, how am I going to get there? Up and away. That's how John said I got there. Up and away. I was thinking about the Apostle Paul. He made the trip. John, he went over there. And Jesus told him, he said, write down everything you see and put it in a book. He took Paul over there and told him, keep your mouth shut. Don't tell nobody about what you saw. Wonder what it would be like for a preacher to go over there and let you see it all and tell you, keep your mouth shut. Huh? No wonder he had a thorn in his side. Well, how did he get over there, preacher? He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he said, I knew a man. He said, I don't know whether he was in the body or out of the body. He said he was caught up. That's how Paul said he got over there. I was interested in that little word, caught up. It means to snatch suddenly without any warning. Paul said, I didn't get no warning. He said, I was over there. Matter of fact, he said it later in these two words. Absent, present. He said, that's what happened to me. I was absent and I was present. John went over there. I had to get over there. Up, away. How did Paul get over there? Snatched him. If you've got your Bible there, the book of Colossians, chapter number 2, you do know that Jesus made a trip over there and came back. You remember the morning that he got up out of the grave? There was an old gal there in the graveyard by the name of Mary. And she was a hugger. And she wanted a hug. And he said, don't touch me. I've not yet ascended to my Father. He said, I ain't made the trip yet. But that night at the evening church service, they had the doors locked, and he come through the wall and said, touch me. Between early that morning, the Bible tells us that he went clear out there and come back in time for the evening service. Some of you can't even go see Aunt Boo in the afternoon and make it back for the evening service. Wow. I bet you he was tired. But he still made it. I love that, don't you? Well, what in the world was he doing out there? Look in Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. He said, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. All of my sin, past, present, and future, he nailed it to the cross. He took it away. And then the Bible said he took his blood and he headed that way. And he said on the way up there, he said, I spoiled principalities and powers. That little word spoil means to take off like a coat. All the imps of hell, Lucifer and all of his band were on that trail trying to stop him. He said, I shook them off like taking off your coat. He said, I triumphed over them. He said, I humiliated them. He said, we had a ticker tape parade going up through there. What's he doing? He cleared the trail. That's the way we're going to go when we're up and away and caught on to that destination. I was thinking about these three people, John, Paul, Jesus, and I was thinking about Lewis's quote, "Those that have the most effect eternally on the world that they lived in were those that thought much and most about the world to come." These old boys got to thinking about heaven so much. Jesus said, "Come on," he said, "I'll take you up there and give you a grand tour." You know, these guys have been gone for 2,000 years, and all three of them are still affecting people for eternity, even after they're gone. Why, some of you, after you're dead, your grandchildren won't even remember your name 6 months after you're gone. How come you ain't lived your life with him on your mind? I'm talking about the trail to this destination. Could I mention this quickly? Could I mention, I don't know about you, when I think about having effect, I want to affect people about this destination. I was wondering, do you ever tell people about this place? Huh? I had a crazy mom and daddy. They had tracks in their pockets all the time. They got me to having tracks in my pocket all the time. I meet preachers all the time. They are gun barrel straight. It's always whosoever will. But I ain't never tell nobody about God. I don't ever see him with a track. I don't ever see him laying down nothing. Matter of fact, I see the waitress seeming like they don't like their attitude. You listening to me? Huh? They ingrain that in me when I see people. I tell you, when I see some of y'all, I wonder, where are they going when they die? Are you listening to me? Matter of fact, when my mom was in the nursing home dying, the hospice chaplain called me on the phone, gave me a report. And while I was talking to him, he's a Catholic priest in Brandon, Florida. He's a hospice chaplain. And I asked him, I said, "Before you hang up, I said, let me ask you a question. I said, where are you going when you die?" He laughed on the other end of the phone. I didn't think it was funny. I said, "What are you laughing at?" He said, "I ain't laughing at you, sir." He said, "The first time I ever met your mama," he said, "she didn't know me from Adam's house cat." He said, "the first words ever come out of her mouth, she asked me, she said, where are you going when you die?" That is the question, isn't it? Where are you going when you die? Well, we talked on a while. We laughed and joked. And I said, "Oh, by the way, where are you going when you die?" Oh, he gave me all that Catholic stuff about the Virgin Mary and the sacrament. I told him, I said, "You better junk all of that, and you better get you dipped in the blood of Jesus Christ, or you're never going to see that place called heaven." Are you listening to me? I'm talking about the trail to that destination. But I see in our text, I notice some titles for this destination. Some of the titles for this place, I don't know about you, it makes me want to go. One of them in Hebrews, chapter number 11 and verse number 6, he calls it a heavenly country. A heavenly country. I was interested in that word country. It means one's hometown. Where are we going, preacher? We're going to God's hometown. Matter of fact, I'm not going to speak for you. I'm a citizen over there. Matter of fact, if I had my spiritual passport this morning, the front of your passport tells where you're from. Inside of your passport tells you where you can go. The front of my passport would say, from heaven. Inside of my passport would say, can dwell on the earth for a while. I tell you, you can get all stirred up about America if you want to. I ain't a citizen of here. I'm a citizen of over there. I don't care if Trump and Hillary get together, sell the whole blooming thing to China, and they split it with Russia. I read the last chapter. We won! And I'm headed to that destination. Matter of fact, I don't know about you. I got an address over there. I don't know about you. I can freely, at my own volition and will, go from one of my addresses to the other. I am here in Taylorsville today. All I have to do to get to my address up there is say, dear Jesus. Amen. And if you're in a hurry, drop off the deer. Wow, I love the hound out of that. Don't you? I'm talking about the titles for this city. I notice also, not only is there amazing titles, but there is alluring titles. Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:4 called it paradise. What's the big deal about that? The Garden of Eden was called paradise. Some of you are not going to like this. Did you know in the Garden of Eden, before they fell, they never planted nothing. They never plowed nothing. They never fed no animals. They just sat around and enjoyed God. It's called paradise. I love it, don't you? Matter of fact, he said, I got a mansion over there. John 14, that little word mansion there is the word for a large estate with at least 75 acres of land with it. That was the word mansion. And I know some of you are excited about seeing yours. I ain't. Matter of fact, I don't never care if I see it or not. Well, what did you mention it for? It was a reason. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. He said, I have put all of these gigantic estates inside of my house. You go ahead to your mansion. I'm going to check a big house out. Well, can you imagine the millions and billions of people been saved down the ages? All of those mansions in his house. Wow, paradise. What a destination. Could I mention, not only is there an amazing and alluring title, but there is an abasing title. John in chapter 21, verse 2, called it a holy city. Oh, it will be a place of exuberant pleasure and joy, but it will be a place where we spend much time on our knees saying, holy, 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 Lord God, thou art holy. I'm talking about the titles of this destination. Can I mention, what's this place like? What can we look for? If you've got the Bible there this morning, Revelations chapter number 21 again. Notice, if you would, the traits of this destination. I would mention, if you've got the Bible there, some dimensional traits, some dimensional traits.
He says in Revelations 21 verse 15, and he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the walls thereof. The city lieth four square. The length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. He said it's the same length that way, that way, that way, that way. He said you can live on any level. Most people believe that it was about the size of a landmass of the entire moon. Matter of fact, if there has been at least before God comes 100 billion people to live upon this globe, they believe that around 20% of that 100 billion will be in a place called heaven. I assure you, there will be more land than you can ever entertain in this destination called a place called heaven. I don't know about you, it's making me want to itch to go there. He says in chapter 21 and verse 17, and he measured the walls there. Got walls around this city? Yeah. He said the walls of the city measured 44 cubits. That means that the walls are approximately a football field high, 100 yards. Preacher, is that to keep the enemy out? God forbid our enemies in hell. He's going to stud them walls with jewels. Gracious, it'll take you a zillion years just to examine the jewels in those walls. I'm talking about dimensional traits. I see there's some distinguishable traits. I hate to even show you this because I know you're not going to believe it. The Bible says in verse 13, and on the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, and on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the Bible tells us in verse 21 that all these gates were each one a pearl. I got to thinking, if the walls are a football field high, that means each one of these gates are as high as a football field. I don't know if you can imagine a pearl this morning, 12 of them, each one of them bigger than a football field. I would love to have a mess of fried oysters that come out of the shells that he found them pearls in. Wouldn't you? Huh? In A.D. 54, King Tertullus fought a major battle with a world enemy, and he paid for it by selling one pearl that his wife had for $20 million. I'm telling you, everywhere you look in this city, every wall, every gate will scream, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. He shall tell you everywhere you look as to the cost that cost him to buy mine and your redemption. I see also in this text not only some dimensional and distinguishable, but I see some dazzling traits. I don't know about you. I don't know how you ladies are. My wife loves shiny things. you like shiny things, you're going to love heaven. I'm telling you, the whole place is just lit up. He says in these walls, in verse 19 of chapter number 21, he said he's going to garnish them with precious stones. He said like jasper stones. It is a transparent crystal. In verse number 19, sapphire. It's as blue as the sky. Verse 19, Chalcedonian. It is a greenish blue. Emerald is a bright deep green. He said sardine. It is a white stripped with a brown color. Crystallite. It is bright yellow as the sun. Beryl is a greenish yellow. Janeth is a deep blue. Amethyst is a rich purple. A sardine is a blood red stone. He said he's going to light the whole city up with himself. He's brighter than 20 zillion suns. They're going to sparkle off of those stones. Some of you loved ones, they've been gone for years and they ain't got past looking at the walls yet. I love it, don't you? Makes me want to invite somebody to go along with me. Huh? I'm talking about some dazzling traits. I see in our text in this dazzling trait, verse 21, he just stuck this in there. He says, in the streets of the city was pure gold. And then this, transparent glass. Well, gold that is refined becomes transparent glass. You say, what's the big deal about that? It is our word for a mirror. Reflection. Well, I was up in Canada several years ago on an Indian reserve, and they had just asphalted their parking lot and burnt the note on the bill for it. Those Indians jumped pews. They must have shouted for an hour. I told them when I got up there, I don't want to be around you when you get up there. If you get that excited about asphalt, you're going to scrape a gut when you get up there and find out what he's paving with up there. I love that, don't you? Don't miss this. John said, when we see him, we shall be like him. The streets now are transparent gold. Every time you look down at the streets, you ain't gonna see yourself. Everywhere you look, everything's a mirror. Everywhere you look, you're gonna see him, because it ain't never been about you. Always been about him. I close with this thought. The treasure of this destination. Well, preacher, what other treasures could there be than what you've told us? Oh, gracious, I ain't scratched the surface in telling you. One of the traits is completeness. I did not know if anybody's ever told you this, but everything over there is already done. Matter of fact, John told me in the book of Revelations when I was reading it, he saw me when he was up there singing in the choir. He said, Tom, he said, ain't no need you worrying down there. He said, I saw you. You're already over there. Well, I guess that's how come I ain't all here. Because I ain't all there yet. One day I'm going to have to tell me to get up so I can sit down. Hey, ain't none of your loved ones sitting down by the river. See if you come home on today's load. As far as they know, you're already there. And when you get there, you'll have a sense that you have always been there. I love that. completeness, finished, done. The other treasure of this destination, and I don't even know if you can get this or not, maybe too deep, is Christ will be there. I don't know if you could join Martin Luther, the great reformer, in this quote. I'm a wanting to. He said, I'd rather be in hell if Jesus is going to be there than to be in heaven and he's not there. Are you listening to me this morning? I tell you, I don't know where he's going to be when this is over with, but wherever he's at, I want to be in his side pocket. I want to be with him. My friend, that will make heaven worth it all. Would you stand this morning? Folks are going to come around. Maybe they'd sing us that song that I got them out of not singing the other morning. I'd love to have heard it. Heaven will be worth it all. While our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Are you sure about this destination?